in Marigold, we were listening to the Reverend children singing. Humming low as the garden river flows, while the August light becomes a golden evening. And I'll lead you down that road if you lose your way. I'm gonna be a protector. Even though I know someday you're gonna shine on your own, I will be your protector.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Reality Check with Kara and Diamond.
Hello, hello.
All right. So, as usual, we're going to start off with our mic check. 1 2 1 2 1 2 mic check. 1 2 What is this? Santana's back to business. Let's go. So, mic check, Kara. How you doing?
How am I doing? Is this thing on? Check, check, check. Let's see. I know we talked about this earlier, but how the month of April is flying by, and I'm not mad at it at all, because that means that the school year is almost over.
Right.
The summer is near. I still work over the summer, but it's a different type of work, how that looks. Birthdays coming up, just sunshine, cookouts, pool. I'm excited for the summer to be here, so... I'm just living life. I feel like things are good. Things are speeding up, but that's a good thing. How are you doing, Diamond? Mic check.
Well, it's kind of the flip for me. April's moving a little too fast for me.
Too fast.
Because I just have so much do. But I am getting closer to graduation. I'm a little over 3 weeks out.
Woo, woo.
So almost done with that. I'm looking forward to it because... this summer, I feel like I'm just gonna...
You're gonna be outside.
Outside.
You're gonna be outside.
Outside. I'm gonna be outside.
Oh, my goodness.
Doing whatever, wherever.
Yes, I'll be outside too with you, girl. Yes, outside.
Right. So, I think I'm just looking forward to that. But right now, overall, I feel like I'm stressed, but I'm navigating it.
Oh, it's not funny. But look, like you said, three more weeks.
But yeah. So, those are our mic checks for the last couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely comment and discuss your mic checks and how you've been feeling in our comments. We look forward to hearing from you guys.
Yeah, maybe we'll do some shout outs next time we record our next episode. So, jumping right into it. So tonight or today, whenever you're listening to this, we're really going to have a conversation around our birthing orders, our inner child, just how that looks like now, how that was looking like growing up, and just our experience with that. And so, as most of you all know, or maybe not, depending on who's listening, I am the oldest in my family, so I'm the oldest of all girls, no brother, and Diamond, you are the...
So, I'm an only child. I grew up an only child. I'm my mother's only child.
Mm-hmm.
But I do have siblings that I eventually met, like once I was a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
But my shaping is of an only child.
Yeah, your shaping or your household.
Right, my household just included me as an only child.
And I would say the same. So, my household, I'm the oldest, but I do have two older siblings that are... Like on, they always say, my mom's side, my dad's side, on my dad's side. Yeah. So, yeah. So, for this conversation, I would just say in our household growing up.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think that's pretty cool because, and we kind of talked about this before, but how you were saying, like, you haven't met or you didn't meet a lot of only child,
children,
only children. Yes. Until college. So, I want to have you, like, jump into that and then I'll jump into.
Okay.
My story.
Yeah, so pretty much majority of my life, I was the only kid who was an only child.
Mm-hmm.
At least not my memory serving me, because it's just like, sometimes it's warped. But I didn't meet only other only children until I got to college. And even in that, it was like maybe one or two. I met more, like moving down here to North Carolina.
Yeah.
And starting to see, like, examples and reflections of myself and seeing how like only children, the personalities, like they manifest in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like a lot of people, when they say only child, there's like such a negative like connotation to it.
Yeah.
It's immediate, oh, you're spoiled. Mm,
yeah.
You always get what you want, you don't know how to share. Like it's just all these negative things. Good yeah. Lord. Right. And you're self-centered, all these things. Gosh.
Yeah.
It's always negative. but I feel like for me, it was a little bit different because I remember when I was younger, I always wanted siblings.
Right.
I always like wanted to share. Mm-hmm. I always wanted to kind of like combat that idea. Mm-hmm. And it kind of gave positive traits, but then it also gave like negative traits as well.
Yeah.
To always wanting to prove that even though I'm an only child, I don't act like the only child that people think that you act like. So that has definitely shaped me in many of ways that I'm in therapy for.
In therapy for. Now, did you ever have a conversation with your mom, like, growing up? Well, not growing up, but maybe, like, elementary age. Like, mm-hmm. I want another sibling. I want another sibling.
All the time. Yeah. I used to beg my mom and be like, girl, everybody else got it. So why am I? And she's the only one of her siblings that just have one kid.
Child. Ah.
And so, and then, like, in my family, even our extended family, mm-hmm. they have big families.
Right,
like,
yeah.
My great aunt, she had 8 kids, yeah. and, like,
yeah.
their kids had a whole bunch of kids. Like, kids, I have cousins, hundreds, thousands of cousins.
Thousands.
And so, I always wanted one, and, like, for the first 10 years of my life, mm-hmm. it was just my mom and I.
Right, right.
And so, but her... I know my mom's reasoning in which, like, she gave me that even at a young mm-hmm. age is that she didn't want to be, like, a statistic in the sense that, oh, I have multiple, like, fathers and stuff like that for my kids.
Mm-hmm.
Which, it for the situation that why she was a single parent, it's kind of like something that was out of her control.
Out of her control,
but she didn't see it that way.
That. Yeah.
So I say all that to say, I did. I begged my mom to give me a sibling, but it just...
Never happened.
Like, it never happened. I got dogs instead.
Oh, okay, okay. So you got dog siblings, great. Dog cousins.
Yes, no. I have little dog siblings, a little dog nieces and nephews because my dogs have babies. Puppies.
Oh, great. I was like, great.
Right, so yeah.
And like, I want to say the opposite for me, but so I was the only child for about 7 years until... my next sister came into my life, but I do remember having conversations with my parents, like, can I have a sibling? Like, can I have another sibling? Because it was to the point where, at least my experience is like, yeah, I enjoyed being the only child because all the attention was on me, but then there would be times for, like, to play, or it's like, okay, like, I'm playing Barbies, I'm tired of talking to myself, or, like, can I have somebody else just along with? Because it was just you and your parents. And it was like, it'd be cool if I had another kid here. And so, and it's funny because I crack jokes all the time. It's like when I asked my parents for one sibling, they gave me two. And I'm like, I said one. And then they gave me another
they
one. And I was like, what?
Tripling.
Yes. And I was like, hold up, hold up. This is not what I asked for. Like, ayo, chill out. And so... but yeah, I do remember asking them, like, can I have another sibling? And it was fun with me and DeKayla.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, like, Vera came 11 months next, and it was like, whoa, what is happening?
Twins.
Yes, we got two babies in the house. And then even just with us three, it was like, okay, cool. It's like, we're all sisters, Charlie's Angels, or like Powerpuff Girls. It's the three of us. And then here's Lula. And so it's like, all right, we're still getting more siblings. Okay, great. But it's like, all right now.
Let's wrap this up.
Yeah, it's like, all right. Because y'all doing too much. And so, and for me, being the oldest, kind of like, I feel like growing up, there was never this talk of like the traits of the older sister or being the older sibling until like, And I always go back to social media, but now it's like on social media, it's like, it's a lot of talk about birthing orders, or like, oh, the oldest sibling has to go through so much and like all
trauma
this. Yeah, trauma. And it's just like, oh, I just thought this was normal. And then when you keep reading stuff or like little reels or TikTok things, and I was like, oh, that's not okay. That's not healthy. Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah. And so being the oldest now, like in my 30s, and my sisters, now they're all in their 20s. Mm-hmm. It's kind of crazy saying that. It's just like, wow, it's like you do see the traits in all four of us, or like you see the different outcomes. And what I wanted to share with the podcast is just one like Instagram reel that I came across. And it's funny because my sister DeKayla sent it to me too. So it's like, huh. But it's just a quick thing that says, just saw someone that mentioned the fact that your older sister doesn't have an older sister of her own. And it broke my heart. They're literally heroes. And it was like, dang, yeah. Like, we don't have somebody who we can run to, or we don't have somebody who we can like look up to. And it's like, okay, that sibling went to Central. I want to go to Central. Or that sibling went to college. I want to go to college. It's like, being the oldest, you had to figure it out. You had the expectations of your parents, or some siblings too didn't have that expectations of their parents, and they really had to figure it out. And so seeing that now, like you said, definitely if there's some trauma in there, and then definitely like the personality traits really shine through. So I would say, let's see, I'm trying to look at my notes too, because I want to talk about, I do want to, like, pause and talk about the benefits.
Right.
Like, we always want to talk about, like, the, I don't want to say the negatives, but, like, are there any benefits of being the only child?
There's both sides, or two sides to one coin.
Yeah. Is there? No, yes, yes. Yes.
Heads or tails. Heads or tails.
Yes.
I feel like being an only child, it made me... I love to read because a lot of time, like when I was by myself, I was reading.
Yeah.
I know how to entertain myself easily. Like, right. It doesn't.
You talk to yourself?
I don't talk to myself. I'm just kidding. Like, but like, I don't, it's not necessarily a problem with me being alone.
Well, that's
I know
good.
A lot of people deal with like not being able to be alone, and it like sends them into a spiral.
Yes.
Me, I'm chilling. I'm like vibing on my own because this is what I knew growing up.
Right.
So I feel like that's a positive. I think that independence, it can be a positive and a negative because sometimes you can be too independent.
Right.
But I think it also makes like me a go-getter to be like, okay, I can do this.
Yeah.
I have to do this.
Yes.
Like,
this. There's no choice.
Right. There's no choice.
Yeah.
But I feel like that can be a positive too for me. I think that being an only child just kind of gives you a specific drive.
Yeah.
Depending. Cause again, there's multiple sides of being an only child because there are some times where being an only child can cause you to, like, be sheltered or cause you to, like, not be able to stand on your own, too, because you always depend on your parents right there.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's where my mom wasn't the type to, like, overly shelter me in the sense of not wanting me to go out and, like, do things. She wanted me to do it.
Yeah.
She sheltered me in different ways, but that's a whole different conversation.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I think that those are some of the positive things.
Yeah, of being the only child. And I'm just trying to think of my friends. And I do have, I'm like, okay, now it's popping up. I'm like, I do have one friend that she's the only child. And I'm just like, wow. Like, not like, how can you guys do that? Like, but like you said, you just learn how to entertain yourself or just be at peace with yourself.
Yeah.
And I look at either like me and you, our friendship, or my friendship with her. And it's like, y'all could be fine. Like, you don't need to check in all the time. It's like, no, I'm okay. Like, I'm not depressed. I'm just okay doing my own thing. And it's like, oh, okay. And so it's just like, wow. Like, you guys, like you said, you're fine being yourself. Like, you can handle that. Yeah.
And I think that it also can be, that's another thing where it's like it can be both sides because then I feel like people will think, oh, well, then like you don't need anything. You don't need anyone because like you're good. You're good on your own.
Good.
It's just like, I mean, I still need a village. I still need support because I don't have, like, I didn't grow up with those siblings, like had that platform there. So like that's why friends become so big and they become so important.
Yes.
But then it also can sometimes turn and hurt you because then you, I don't want to say, not in a negative way, but like you're not as, sometimes it'll seem like you're not as important to your friends as they are to you.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, sometimes your friends, they took that place of, like, not having a sibling, especially, like, if you grew up with them from, like, childhood and stuff like that. But then it can turn when you, like, become an adult and things like that, and they get involved in their lives, and it's just, like, at the end of the day, like, you're still, like, you're just a friend.
You're just a friend, right. Did you ever get, well, are you close with your cousins? Like,
Like, I mean, I grew up with my first cousins.
There you go.
So, they're, specifically the one that's directly above me, which I talk about all the time. Yes. She was like the older sibling to me.
Yes.
And because we grew up so close, even in like proximity.
Yeah.
Because at one point we lived in the same house.
Mm-hmm.
And then her parents, like, they moved like literally around the corner.
Oh, right.
Like, okay, I would literally just get up, leave my house, and just walk around the corner.
Yes.
Right. So that became kind of the first image of, like, having an older sibling.
Mm-hmm.
And then her older sister, it was kind of, like, seeing that, too, like, having that. Because she's, so, that cousin's 3 years older than me. And her older sister's 10 years older than me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, and that was the one who would babysit me.
Yeah.
And
then,
another cousin that would babysit me to 11 years. So, like, my cousins kind of became that idea.
Mm-hmm.
So, I wasn't always by myself.
Right.
Because, like, my mom, she is the fun cool aunt.
Yeah.
So, my cousins were always around.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I kind of had a little bit of an example of what it felt like.
Yeah.
Because she definitely became the example of life for me. And being like, good. Oh, she's doing that. Oh, I want to do that too.
That's good. Right. Yeah. So. That is good. I think for the oldest siblings, it was like, ooh. It's like, and I was, while you were talking about the positives and stuff, I'm like, okay, what are some positives of the positive traits of being the oldest? And I would like to brag and be like, okay, we're organized, or we're like always on it. We're a go-getter and stuff. But then that gets draining.
Right.
So I'm like, is that positive?
Right.
And then because there's so much pressure on ourselves. Mm-hmm. But it's like, we can get the job done. We can organize and have other people get the job done.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I feel like I'm describing my job as well. But it's just like...
But they say that your birth order also, like, it plays a role in
your career.
Become. Yeah, like, what career path you take.
CEO, right? But, yeah, it's just like, ooh. And, like, again, growing up, it's like, yep, I'm the oldest. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. There was no question. There was no thought of, like, oh, some trauma or thought that this is, not saying that this is wrong, but, like, ooh, this is going to play a huge part growing up. And, like you mentioned, too, like, just having sessions in therapy is like, in therapy, I talk a lot about just the perfectionist or being perfect or painting that picture and making sure that my life looks perfect on the outside.
Right.
And that's so stressful too. And so finally, like late 20s, early 30s, finally, like, no, you don't have to be perfect. Like, you did a huge job of, like, trying to be the role model for your other three sisters. And, like, they know this, too. There was a time in our life, in our sisterhood, where it's, like, tension. Because it's, like, I had high expectations for them. And it was to the point where it's, like, well, you need to do this because I did this. And I would never say that out loud, but definitely how I treated them, like, no, you need to do A, B, and C.
Right.
And maybe D, so you can be a little bit better than me. And then that kind of came up to, like, I'm, like, their second parent.
Right.
And so... Yeah, talking about, again, trauma and, like, unraveling it now, I feel like, wow, it's like I need to take more time to sit with it and look at the birthing order and stuff.
Right, and so, how that affects you.
Mm-hmm.
And it does in so many ways that I'm happy that we're starting to read more about it. And I'm also happy that they're starting to include only children more.
With the description, right?
Because I always felt like it was always older, middle, young.
Yeah.
And it's just like, okay.
What about me?
Where do I fall?
Yeah.
And which... it's actually interesting how they relate only children to the oldest child.
I was just like, the firstborn, right?
Because most of the stuff that like you've had to express in life, like only children have to do the same thing. Like we have to be responsible. We're our parents only. All of that pressure leans on our head.
Yeah.
You have to be responsible. You have to be the go-getter. You have to, the expectations and the hopes and dreams, they all like fall on you. So it's a lot of pressure. And especially because the parent that was like present in my life was same sex.
Yeah.
So it's just like her hopes, her dreams and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
They get placed on my head. And that's been a pressure like no other. And it's like, then it's hard to have like somebody to lean on and look back and look on when you're the only child, because it's like, nobody knows my mom as a mom but me. So it's just like, so when like, you know, when siblings, they're like, oh, go talk to your mother.
Mama,
like, your mom's acting crazy.
Yeah, that's your mama. Right.
I don't talk to anybody. Or I'll call my grandparents and I'll be like, your daughter.
Your daughter, right. Go talk to your daughter real quick.
Please go talk to
that's
your daughter.
That's a great point.
Because she's...
Yes.
Right. And so, even in saying that too, as I've gotten older, it's kind of like a... It's not... I guess it would be sadness when I think about my mom getting older and like getting to the point of like having to take care of her and stuff like that. I'm like, it's just me.
Yes.
Like, I'm going to have to do that and navigate that on my own.
Yes.
Like, if there is a chance that I don't end up like with a significant other and stuff like that, it really is just going to be me. And it's like a pain of like when the day comes that she goes on. It's just like, it's just my own pain, and there's no other like sibling to be like support in that way. So I think that those are some of the things that I've been reflecting on as I've gotten older.
Yeah, and it's like thinking about that, like jumping to having our children too. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, now like KJ's right now is the only child, and so it's like I always think about that when people say, "Are you gonna have another one? Or you guys gonna have?" And I don't know why, but I always think about, I would love to give him a sibling because I don't want him to be the only one to take care of me and Demetrius when that time is here, because it's like, that is stressful. And it's crazy because it's like, the older siblings kind of have to deal with that too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yes, we have other siblings, and when that time is near, like with our mom, it's like, we'll all band together. But at the end of the day, I was given specific things to do, and it's like, I have to be the strong person and say, hey, girls, we're going to do this, or like, so it's like going back to the only child and the oldest.
And I think it depends on the sex too sometimes, because I've seen it where like the oldest one is the boy, and it's just not the same. The girl, whoever is the oldest girl, ends up being the one that has most of the control and has to take over.
Yes.
So I think that it's important to note, like, when you are the oldest girl, that there's a whole different dynamic.
More stress.
That
the
comes on
girl.
With that.
Yeah, and I just, I never even thought about that, because it's like, the oldest girl. And then I know you've seen this meme, too. It's like, why do older siblings, or sisters, older daughters think that they're the family manager? And it's like, because we are.
But you are. Because you're like that buffer between your parents and the siblings.
And you're, we are.
It's like,
yeah.
They always say the oldest is like the trial. The trial of having kids.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, you're the ones where your parents make the first, like, parenting mistakes.
Yeah.
And they learn from it. It's kind of like, you that almost grow with
your parents.
Your parents.
Yeah.
You're
still
the one
grown.
That, walked them into parenthood.
Yeah.
And then they learn, like, how to navigate those things, like, with your siblings, which is why some siblings, they get upset when, like, the younger one gets off with certain things.
Right.
And, like, the parent isn't as upset, and they learn how to navigate that.
Yeah.
So, that's definitely a pressure to take on as an older child.
It is.
Is that you basically learn parenthood with your parents.
Or, and your parents are, Because it was like, I was reading, it was like more strict with you because mm-hmm. it's like, okay, you're the first child. So, of course, they want to do everything right. Mm-hmm. They want to make sure you get your fruits and vegetables mm-hmm. and grains and your meats and proteins and stuff. But mm-hmm. then it's like, oh, the second child comes. It's like, well, our first child survived. We probably don't have to
do so much.
Right, yeah. It's like, oh, or drop the pacifier on the floor. Just rinse it off a little bit.
Or sometimes just pop it in your mouth.
But with the first one, I bet it was like, oh, no, we got to boil it in hot water or just throw it away and buy some new pacifier.
Throw it away and get another
one.
Yeah, it's
like, oh, my gosh, it fell on the floor. Yeah, so it's like that strict and it's like that anxiety and that pressure comes from the parents and it bleeds off into the oldest. And right. So, again, being a parent myself, it's like I'm trying to, like, not do that mm-hmm. with KJ. It's like, just be mindful, like, when he does get older, when we're thinking about after high school, what are your plans? Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, it's okay if you don't go to college, yeah. but what are some other opportunities you can do? Mm-hmm. Or, like, trying different sports and stuff. And so, it's just like, wow, full circle.
Right.
Full circle.
So, how do you think that being the oldest daughter, like, how has that affected, like, your mentality, like, your mental health, and mm-hmm. how is that reflected in your adulthood?
Yeah, so I think just talking more about, I want to say, my relationships with my siblings, mm-hmm. it was for a while, I felt like I was their mother, mm-hmm. and of course, like, our family dynamic was, like, we had a lot of struggles and stuff growing mm-hmm. up, like, in foster care, and having to be, like, their spokesperson when we're talking to the social workers, mm-hmm. stuff like that. But, like, still, like, even talking to my friends who did not have a lot of mm-hmm. issues, quote-unquote, growing mm-hmm. up, they still had to be a spokesperson or they mm-hmm. still had to be a role model. And so I think just, like, having that pressure, like I shared, just want to be perfect and want to mm-hmm. do everything right. Mm-hmm. And then looking at your siblings, it's like, nope, you need to do the same thing. And then getting pissed off at them, like, why aren't you doing this? And they're like, because I'm living my life. And
right.
Like, but that's not how you're supposed to live your life, because I didn't get a chance to live my life. I was right. doing this. And it was like, dang, like, everything's great over there. Like, y'all didn't die. Like, it's like, right. did you die? No. But over here, it's like, everything had to be straight and perfect.
Yeah.
So, again, so that perfectionist, just that mindset, I would say, what else? Just being very bossy sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so that would come out in, like, relationships. That mm-hmm. would come out in friendships, too. Mm-hmm. And, like, I had... Thank God for my friends who called me out on this. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, yeah. Like, I am being judgmental.
Gotcha.
Or, like, expecting you to do this mm-hmm. when, again, you're living your life. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, it's like being the second parent. Like, well, my parents put me in charge, so yeah. I'm going to make that bleed in into other right. relationships and stuff. Trying to see what else. But I think just that huge of being perfect and then that judgmental mm-hmm. because it's like, nope. Here's the right way. Of course, like, this was the right way that was taught to me. Mm-hmm. So my parents could say, the sky is blue, and I'm going to believe that the sky is blue, right. and I'm going to tell you that the sky is blue.
And you better believe and you the better, sky yes. is blue.
And if you don't, then we don't have the problem.
Right.
So I definitely, like, looking back, and like I said, we talk about that in therapy session, is just that perfectionist. Mm-hmm. And then just ripping that off. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I'm trying to see where else, like, being the oldest... there's been times, too, where it's like, I don't know what to do.
Right.
And it's like, who do I call?
Who do you, yeah, where do you yeah. look for that?
Like,
guidance?
Because it's like, if I call my mom, now, and it's
it
like...
It may turn into a lecture.
A lecture, but, and I feel like me and my mom have a better relationship now.
Yeah.
Where it's like, mom, I don't want to hear, I'm truly coming for you for some, not answers, but some advice.
Right.
I don't need to hear uh-uh. no lecture right now because ain't nobody got time for that. I don't need that.
Because I'm already pissed off.
Yeah, so about the situation, and I just need help right now. I don't need to know, like, this is not a true story, but it's right. like, and I'm like, at the car dealership, uh-huh. because I feel like everybody had a situation at the car dealership, mm-hmm. and it's like, okay, but I just signed over this loan. It's like, well, why did you sign over that loan? Blah, blah, blah. It's like, I don't need to hear that because it's already done. I just need help.
I need the support. Yeah. Just support me right
like, because
now.
We're already in the midst of it. Because I feel like the car dealership gives everybody. But yeah, oh, it's like situations please. Like that. Yeah, yeah. It's like, why did you call me before? on you? I'm like, I didn't.
Please, just please. Stop.
Yes. Because I remember bringing my mom to the dealership by my first car, and that was stressful, but we got it. We got that car, and I was like,
Right.
But yeah, it's just like, who do I call? And then it's like, if I call, and again, now, and I would say, shout out to therapy and just growth, it's like, I can still call my oldest. We call her like the middle. Uh-huh. She's not the middle, but the oldest of the three. So I can still call DeKayla. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we have a good relationship now where I'm like, DeKayla, I need some advice. Mm-hmm. Talk me through it. And I feel like she could do that now too. But it took us a while to get there.
Right.
But yeah, it's just like, who do we look up to?
Right.
Still, like, with this family parenting thing.
Who do you call?
Where my examples at? Where are the examples?
How do I navigate?
Do I look in the back of the textbook? Ain't no textbook. Where the answers at? So stuff like that. Right. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I would definitely say, like, even as an only child, my older cousin, that, like, advice and stuff like that, I can turn to her
That's good.
Be able to, like, get that, like, knowledge and things like that and see her. And, like, even friends and things like that. Because I was going to say, a positive side of, like, you being a older sibling is that from when I first met you, like, I feel like you, like, took me under your wing.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, that protective nature of, like, our friendship. It definitely reflected that you're an older sibling.
Yes, the older. Yes. Is that why y'all call us? No, but grandma, grandpa. No.
But, yeah, there's definitely, I think it goes out into your life, like, those traits. It just goes across, like, the positive and negative can too, but the positive definitely
outshines
the negative. Outshines
if you let
part.
It. And I was thinking too, it's like, okay, how do we adapt or adjust now in our adulthood? And it's like, for me, it's like, okay, me saying I don't have older siblings or who do I look up to and stuff, then that's where their mentors come in. And so I think of, like, I have friends that are, of course, they are older than me, but not like they're 10 years older than me, just a few years. And I just, like, rely on them too. Mm-hmm. And it's like, what about this? Or just silently watch how they move. Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes they might not think that I'm watching them in a good way, but I am. It's like, oh, that's cool. Like, how are you doing that? Or how are you, like, traveling? And how are you working on your inner self? And so just watching that. But yeah, just definitely. Being the oldest is a lot of pressure, and it's exhausting.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And obviously, I relate to that.
Probably the only child. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I feel like being the only child, it's brought on anxiety. And I've noticed that I am a reflection of my mom's anxiety because of, like, all the pressure that she's put and the anxiety that she's had.
Yeah.
She hasn't put it anywhere but on me because I'm her only child.
Yeah.
And so I'm basically a mirror for her. And now I suffer a lot with, like, having anxiety and, like, overthinking things and, like, over planning in my head. Like, to the point where it's just like, okay, you don't have to think of all the different ways that this could go wrong. Definitely think that that's on the mental health aspect, that that's how being an only child has affected me. Lots and lots of anxiety.
Do you have any strategies that you put into place or any best practice, like, when you do feel like, oh, you're getting anxious about this or, like...
So I try to, and this is, like, as of late, especially going to therapy, because I've been in therapy for 2 years now.
Okay,
so
2 years. I don't know how long. I've been in therapy for a long time.
And so I've learned different strategies. One for sure is noting whether it's my anxiety or if I've taken on, like, something my mom has given me.
Yeah.
And noting that, okay, maybe I'm not the one that's anxious about it. It might be her. And so separating that and realizing that.
Yeah.
Some ways that I deal with the anxiety is just, like, taking a step back and, like, reassessing, do I need to either stop doing what I'm doing or is there another route that I can go? The thing about also, I feel like with my anxiousness, it's very internal.
Yeah.
Like, people don't know unless I say it.
Unless you,
I feel like I'm typically, like, just very calm nature. Yeah. But in my head, it's like it's like the SpongeBob episode where he didn't know his name and fire burning everywhere.
Yeah.
And I think that's another thing too, with being an only child, you learn how to self-regulate.
Mm.
Eat like a lot.
That makes sense.
Right. Especially dealing with like your parent and different emotions. Because you don't have that outlet to try to figure out those different emotions. Yeah. So you learn how to navigate those on your own.
By yourself, yeah.
Right.
I'm like, wow.
So again, dealing with anxiety, I just have to learn how to take a step back.
Yeah.
And just breathe. And sometimes it goes to counting.
Yeah.
And being present in the moment too.
Being present in the moment. Because
then that overthinking will literally keep me up at night. And so learning to let that go.
Yeah.
The other thing is also being like positive towards myself and not paying attention so much to the negative things and beating myself up. Because even my mom says it, that I've taken on the perfectionist in certain aspects. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I don't know why you're so hard on yourself.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just like, I'm so hard on myself because I feel like I'm like your one hope. Like that is it. The things that you feel like you couldn't do. I want to do them for you.
And that has never been communicated to you, has it?
As far as
your mom never sat you down and said, like, Diamond, I want you to do everything that I didn't have a chance to do.
Well, yeah, we have had those conversations growing up. But because I feel like parents, they always say they want you to have better. They say they want you to do better and stuff like that. And so we have had those type of conversations.
Yeah.
And where I feel like it's manifested and like a snowball effect where it's just like, okay, I want to do these things. So that is just like you know that like, okay, you may not have gotten to do it, but I'm doing it. I'm giving you something to be proud and happy of. Mm. But sometimes it's just like, ooh.
And maybe they were just, because I'm thinking too of like, my parents too. It's like just planting the seed. So I'm assuming the best intentions. I always do, but it's like our parents were just like, hey, like we do want you to go to college because, like them growing up or their generation is like that. That was not the cool thing to do, but that was the quote unquote right thing to do. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I can see that, especially like with my mom too. It's after high school you go to college. It's just what you do.
Right.
And I like hearing your story. It's like it's not like our parents did that on purpose, like you need to do this, but it's like we do want you to have a better life than us. Like what is the purpose of us bringing you into this world and then you just doing the same stuff we doing, not breaking no cycles, like just repeating, like that defeats the purpose. So I can see that, like you take not getting an order from your mom, but just her hopes and dreams, but you're like, I don't want to let you down. Right. I don't want to disappoint you. I'm about to do it. And it's like,
That's the big word, disappointment.
Yes.
Like, I think out of anything in this world, nothing would break my heart more than my mom being disappointed in me. Because it's just like, I never want to bring like sadness or pain to my mom or be a reason why she like feels disappointment or like sadness.
And that's so crazy because I was like, no matter what you do, and I'm putting my mom hat.
Yeah.
Like no matter what, like you're never ever gonna disappoint your mom, and it's like that's easy for me to say to you, and probably easy for you to hear. But you're like, okay, that gotta take some time to marinate.
Yeah,
and I know she's proud, and she probably tells you all the time, like she's so proud of you, and it's like. But, like, in your mind, you're like, nope, I'm going to keep going.
I got to keep going.
It's like, chill out, Diamond, wait. Slow down. Right. Come back. Yeah.
And that's what I talk about in therapy, because my therapist would be like, well, Diamond, where's the ceiling? And I'm like, I don't know where the ceiling is. I feel like every time I get to the goal, I'm like, all right, so what's the next thing? All right. Yeah. It's just like, I did it. And I don't take the time to, like, revel in the my accomplishments.
Yeah.
It's just like, all right, I did it. All right, so what's next?
Yeah,
what's so next? Keep going. And it's just like, it's always that thing in the back of my mind, like, okay, yeah, so I'm going to do this next thing, and she's going to be super proud. And I'm going to do this next thing, and she's going to be really, really proud.
Yeah.
And it's like, take a break.
Girl. That might be our next episode. Where is the ceiling?
Where is the ceiling?
Chill out. Yeah, no, because I'm right there with you. I'm just like, Okay, like going back to school. Mm-hmm. And everybody's like, girl, why are you trying to go back to school? Because I can. Right. Because I want to. Right. And I got in and I'm about to do it. Right. But then it's like, and again, I don't know if it's our generation or my favorite social media. But it's like those pressures too, because it's like, okay, I got to do everything. But then it's like, we're going to be sitting like mid-30s, early 40s, like, okay, I'm done. Like, I done did everything that I wanted to do. What am I supposed to do now?
And I think that that's something that I'm currently dealing with, the idea of, like, now that this program is wrapping up, one more program that I have that I want to complete. But I was talking to one of the professors that I do my practicum, and she was just like, well, do you plan on, like, having a family? Do you plan on having kids and stuff like that? And I said, well, yeah, that's my plan. Yeah. And she was just like, well, you have to learn how, like, how are you going to be able to balance that? How are you going to navigate that?
Yeah.
You have to realize, like, where your career falls and where, like, family planning and all that stuff falls. And where I feel like that kind of caused me to spiral, because I felt like, oh, crap, I've prioritized my career so much that I've never, like, I didn't really pay attention to personal life and, like, going on, family planning and all these things.
I think that is perfect for our next episode. Because what? Reality check.
Right.
It's like when you've done everything on your to-do list.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, what? I'm still alive. I still got some time. I'm still. Wow. Yeah. Like,
and how to balance, like I said, how to balance that. Because on top of that, it made me feel like, dang it, am I running out of time? And then obviously, because being a woman, you know, like, your biological clock and
all these things. They talk about that too,
right? And then me, like, knowing the different sides and things like that, like, how that can go, having kids, like, in your late 30s, 40s. Growing up, I always said to myself, I was just like, if I don't have the kids by 35, I don't want to have them.
I'm doing this.
And it's just like, you can't say that. Because it was like, well, you don't know what God wants for you. But I'm like, God, please don't let me have my first kid when I'm 40 years old.
You can't have one child. You got to have multiples.
It's like, and what's another thing that's crazy about being an only child, at least my reflection, is that it made me want to have a whole bunch of kids.
Correct.
So when I was younger, I said I wanted 10 kids. Obviously, as I've gotten older, it's gone down to at least two.
5 years ago. No, 10.
I had to start when I was like,
or just start now.
20.
Just go, right? Just start now. Oh my God.
I wanted 10 kids because I was just like, I want a house for my kids.
Yeah.
But I've met only children who, they've been like, no, I never wanted a sibling. Yeah. No, I do not want a bunch of kids.
Really?
I'm fine having either one kid or no kids.
Yeah.
Like, so I think that birth order, it kind of, it depends on the person and, like, how they grow up ultimately.
Yes.
Like, it makes a difference, but we're still individuals.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I think about that too with Demetrius, because obviously he's not the only child or the oldest, but, like, having that conversation, he's like, I'm good with one child, because it's like, it's eight or it's nine of them total, and so it's like, what? Just one? But it's like, because he's like, it was a lot of love.
A lot of love to feed.
Right. Yeah, I'm like, you're right. But I said, now, it's like when y'all get together, it's a big party. Like, then cousins and nephews and nieces. Right. Like, it's a huge family. Mm-hmm. And so.
And it's reflected in my dating life, because I'm like, I don't think I want to date an only child. And it's kind of like I have, because in my mind, I'm like, well, I don't know what kind of only child you're going to be. And then, at least on their father's side, they're not going to have any cousins. And cousins have been so big and important in my life.
Yeah.
And, like, on his side, they're not going to have aunts and uncles. Like, obviously, knowing that I have older siblings.
Yeah.
And two younger siblings, actually.
Yeah.
That there'll be aunts and uncles. But it's just,
I never really thought about that.
Yeah, like, I feel like it just makes the family small. Like, I really hope that I date somebody who comes from a big family.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
and I'm just like, I want to have that.
A big family. Yeah. But, whew, it seems like I need to talk to my therapist now about the birthing order. Because I'm just like, wow, I never really, like, and then just, like, my, and it's funny because my closest girlfriends were all older sisters.
Oh, wow.
So, Devin, Taylor, Kayla, we're all we're the oldest.
Oh, true. Yes. True. So,
and,
right.
And our younger siblings, we love them, but they all drive us all crazy. Like, yeah, all of them drive, the yeah, as they, because it's like, mm-hmm. what is you doing? But yeah. then we have moments, too, where they're, like, on the top of the world, like, our younger siblings, mm-hmm. like, yeah, and then we cheer for each other, like, mm-hmm. yes, I knew you mm-hmm. could do it. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, we're like, whoo, like, mm-hmm. and, yeah, we've all try to be perfect or try to make sure life is straight for our younger siblings. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it takes all the toll.
It does. And then yeah. I've also seen it where there are some older siblings who they end up being like the family screw up. So there's an opposite side.
Really?
And the younger child ends up being the person that all of the, like, things go on top of.
True.
And it just, like, it really depends on, like, if your parents plan to have other kids. Mm-hmm. Some people, they end up being the older sibling, and then they have, like, younger kids because, like, the older sibling is sick, and mm-hmm. they need the younger child to, like, help, like bone marrow or something like that for the kid.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's there deep. Are things.
I
so, like,
the, that far.
Right, yes. the responsibilities go down on
oh,
the
gosh,
child.
Yeah,
yeah, on the younger child to, like, be able to help their older siblings. So I think it just depends on the person and, like, how it's reflected. But obviously, we're talking about ourselves.
No, that's so. a off podcast conversation. Right. Cause I'm like, what? I'm like,
but yeah, I definitely think that it shapes you in so many ways.
It does shape you, yeah.
And it manifests a lot in adulthood.
Yeah. And I think, like, again, based off of this conversation, just having awareness mm-hmm. of your birth order. Of course, everybody knows their birth order, right. but just having awareness of those traits mm-hmm. and then kind of lean towards the positive side mm-hmm. and then acknowledge the negative parts. Mm-hmm. But it's like, okay, negative are like, am I hurting myself, others and stuff with my personality mm-hmm. and just try to work on that if mm-hmm. you can, or try right. to put things in place. So,
I mean, yeah, you yeah. should. Yeah. Like, try to work and
I was
fix
like,
it.
If you can.
Yeah,
right.
if it's something that you deem as negative, then
that's
that
true.
Is
if
something
you, deem as negative,
you
yeah.
Should try to adjust, because I don't adjust. Think anybody wants to be,
yeah.
like, have these negative traits
true.
Attached to them.
You're right. They were like, no, I love it.
Not
because I'm bossy. That's what you need to play.
Not because I'm bossy.
That's all for us, because we are bossy. But yeah, I think that is good.
Yeah.
yeah. All right.
Oh, yeah. I think this was a good conversation mm-hmm. discussing, like, birth orders and how it manifests
yes.
in our life. And we now have some ideas of what other episodes need to go.
Yes.
There's a lot of subtopics that we
that
can get into
yeah.
and go in there.
Just a big old reality check, like, duh.
Literally.
Yes.
Of how it reflects.
Mm-hmm.
Your birth order matters.
Yeah. Birth order matters. Need to put that on a shirt.
But yeah, all right, guys. So thank you for tuning in.
Yes, always thank you for tuning in, and then we'll be in touch. Be sure to let us know how you're really doing
right.
on our social media platforms.
We do care, and we want to interact with you. So
mm-hmm.
maybe eventually we'll get and do like a live episode or something.
Oh, you might see our faces. And we'll be on YouTube, you know.
Yeah. All right, guys. Bye.
Someday you're going to shine on your own. I will be your projector. And even though I know someday you're going to shine on your own, I will be your protector. I'm going to be a protector.